This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I can't fool myself. I don't want nobody else to ever love me. You are my shining star, my guiding light, my love.
We are broadcasting live from Hot Shots in St. Charles. Frank Cusimano with Charles Tuna Edwards, Andy Strickland, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman. And we have a Blues hockey team that's about ready to clinch 6 o'clock in New York tonight, Andy. The Rangers are not very good. Blues are. What do you think?
Well, they should do it tonight. I mean, just based on the fact that the Rangers, like you said, they're not very good. I think they've won 2 of their last 15 games, so they obviously, you know, they traded off 2 of their top players at the trade deadline, you know. So, I mean, they are just okay, as Joel Quenneville would say. So this should be a game that the Blues should be able to win. And, you know, that's what Craig Berube's telling his team right now. I mean, he told his team after practice the other day, I think it was Tuesday, we're not done. I mean, believe me, they want home ice advantage in the worst way. They have an opportunity to still get home ice advantage if they can finish ahead of Nashville in the division. And, you know, first place still isn't completely out of the realm of possibility either. So, I mean, they want to win every game they play from here on out moving forward. They've got, what, 6-7 games left in the regular season? So they are pushing, and they will not stop. And they obviously hope to get home ice, so we'll see how this plays out.
And all of a sudden, they have a fourth line with Sanford, Barbashev, and Steen.
I know, man. This is and they're not really your typical fourth line. I mean, you look at a guy like Zach Sanford, who's been a top-nine guy most of the season. I mean, he may have had some games here and there where he was on the fourth line, but most of the season he's been higher up the lineup. You know, Ivan Barbashev has been a fourth-line guy all of this year, but don't forget a couple seasons ago, last time the Blues made the playoffs, he was the number one center entering the playoffs playing with Vladimir Tarasenko.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, so he's got an offensive game to his repertoire, and then Alexander Steen has got 600 points in his career. So they're not approaching each and every game like they're a fourth line in the traditional sense, where they just want to get pucks in deep and get off the ice, right? They want to produce, they want to contribute offensively and make plays when they have an opportunity. In the last couple of games, they've been able to do so. I think it's great to see a guy like Barbashev do what he's been doing, especially the story with his family being in town. The first time they'd ever come over from Russia, Charlie, to watch him play. Ever.
First time ever
to watch him play in the National Hockey League. And he scores a hat trick in the second game that they've ever seen him play. His brother was here as well. You know, Sanford earlier in the year when he had an opportunity back in October, early November, when he was playing with Ryan O'Reilly, he had a streak where he had points in 5 straight games. Now he's got points in, what, 4 or 5 straight games again. So, I don't know. They just got it going on. This was the biggest issue for the Blues we were talking about the last week or two, the lack of secondary scoring. I mean, their secondary scoring was coming from the back end, and they knew they needed guys to start to contribute offensively. And slowly but surely, they've been getting that from guys like Schwartz, who had the hat trick, and Patrick Maroon, who started producing offense, and now these guys in the fourth line. So it's a real positive sign.
You know, at the beginning of when we started the show, when hockey season started, Bumeister, people were feeling sorry for him, ready to throw him out, get rid of this guy. And look what he's done now as a veteran player.
Yeah, I know. What's your take on his game there, Charlie? I want you to break it down for me.
I can't break it down. I ain't breaking nothing down.
No, but, you know, you're right. And I sat down with him maybe 2 weeks ago on Fox, you know, and he opened up about the idea that he really thought this was it and this was going to be the end of his career. He wasn't healthy. He had the hip surgery last year. He played a limited number of games last season and came back this year at the beginning of the year, and it just seemed like everything he just couldn't do anything right. I mean, how many goals that went off his skate or his leg went in the back of the net? I mean, it was a bad, bad look for Jay Bouwmeester early in the year. And then all of a sudden he started to get healthy, and he started playing with Colton Parayko. And ever since he started playing with Parayko and getting healthy, you see the way he's skating again. Now he wants to play. And I wouldn't be shocked if we hear news about a contract extension with him and the Blues.
Is this the last year of his contract right now?
Yes.
So you would think a 1 year, it could be two, could it?
It could very possibly be two. I think he would like to. We'll see if the Blues push for one. I know there's been a lot of talks that's been going on over the course of the last few weeks, so we'll see where they're at and when they make the announcement official.
How old is he?
He's 35. Mm-hmm. If Jay Bouwmeester is healthy – at 35, his game won't look any different than it does right now 2 years from now. I mean, that's just the reality of it in terms of his ability to skate. It wasn't that long ago guys in their mid-30s, early 30s were getting long contract extensions. Obviously, the game has changed because it's trended younger. But in terms of his ability to play at 37, I don't worry about that. But, you know, a one-year deal would obviously be safer, but with the way he's played, he's playing 20-plus minutes a night, how he's defending. Now he's drawing the assignment of playing against the other team's top players every single night, he and Parayko. I mean, they've turned into one of the top defensive tandems in the entire league in terms of how they're playing. And it's not just Jay Bouwmeester. It's Colton Parayko, too, who's defending as well as he ever has. In fact, we're sitting down with Parayko tonight. You can see that on Fox on our pregame show.
Boy, a lot of I know this is a franchise that not too long ago had Al MacInnis and Chris Pronger. Mm-hmm. But in terms of offensive skill, I mean, they lead the league for goals by defensemen. Yeah. But even Bouwmeester's not up there in that category, has skill. And then Vince Dunn and Parayko's shot and Pietrangelo. I mean, that's
And
Parayko's
not even getting a whole lot of power play time right now, you know? I mean, the way they're utilizing their two power play units, it's pretty much Petro on one unit, Vince Dunn on the other. Now they're playing those two together. You know, Joel Levinson still is out of the lineup. They're going to get him back in time for the playoffs, they hope. So we don't even know what the lineup's going to look like on the back end once you get into the playoffs. But this team is not only trending at the right time in terms of how they're playing, but they've got so much confidence, and they're so good just in terms of how they're winning. If you look at how they win and who they've beaten, and that's why, you know, Jordan Binnington, I mean, this guy, listen, he shouldn't finish anywhere that further down than second in the Calder Trophy voting for Rookie of the Year. I mean, what he's done since January is unbelievable. If this guy would have played a month sooner, okay, if he would have played his first game in early December as opposed to early January, there's a chance we're talking about him in the Vezina conversation for the best goaltender in the league. You know, he's second right now in goals against, or in save percentage, first in goals against average, I believe. He's got five shutouts.
21-4-2.
He's beaten the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the best team in the league. He's beaten them twice, Nashville twice. He hasn't just won games against the Cupcakes. He's beaten the top teams in the league. Where would they be without Jordan Binnington?
So he starts tonight, and then Jake probably in New Jersey on Saturday?
I would think so. You know, I mean, we'll see how they do it. But Jake's going to get a start. Jake will probably get two, if not three, more starts the rest of the way because you have another set of back-to-backs next week when they go to Chicago. Then they play at home on Thursday, I think, against Philadelphia. So he'll get one of those two games, most likely the road game in Chicago. And if the final game of the season doesn't mean anything in terms of influencing their playoff position, there's a chance he plays his first home game in months in the final game of the regular season against Vancouver on April 6th.
With his contract, will Jake Allen be back with the team?
That's a good question, man. You never know. Because, Charlie, you know this. There's still a lot of hockey left to be played. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, he's got 2 years left on that $17.4 million deal.
Yeah, 2 years left. He's making north of $4 million. I don't mind the tandem right now.
Jake's, yeah, why not?
Jake's actually played some pretty good hockey this year. You know, he didn't have a great start, but ever since January 7th, when Binnington has taken over, Jake's been fine. He's won some big games on the road. He's played good on the road. He hasn't had a home start, so maybe that was an issue for him. Playing at home was a little more pressure and wasn't as comfortable, and obviously wasn't playing as well. But I mean this. People don't want to hear it, but there's a lot of hockey left. We don't know how Jordan Binnington's going to handle the pressure down the stretch. There's no reason to assume that he won't handle it fine, and he's not going to be, you know, mentally and physically able to continue to play at the level that he has. But we've seen this over the years, not just with the Blues, but a lot of different teams who go to two different goaltenders over the course of a playoff series. You hope that Binnington is able to play consistent and just runs the table.
There's a reasonable chance once the playoffs start, we will not see Jake Allen again.
There's a chance. But if we do see him and he plays well, I think it could certainly change the temperature or the tone in terms of how they look at him moving forward.
That'll be interesting to see that if Binnington has a bad game in the postseason, if the next night they trot out Jake or do they go back to the camp?
I don't think they would do that after one bad game. They wouldn't do that. But let's not forget, you know, next season will be the first year that Jordan Binnington is entering a year in the National Hockey League where he's the number one. And you want to have some experience behind him. So I don't think the quick hook for Jake is going to be there unless they want to shed some salary because, you know, that's an expensive, quote-unquote, backup goaltender. But, you know, Jordan Binnington, who has – he's going to be a restricted free agent, but he's also going to have arbitration rights. And the more he continues to win, And if he wins in the playoffs, the higher that number is going to go. This guy's going to get paid.
Yeah, we have an expansion draft coming up, right?
Not this offseason.
Okay, yeah. So.
When Seattle comes into the league.
Gotcha.
Hey, well.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Will the Blues do copy the Cardinals and sign this coach before the season is over?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Not at all?
I don't think the Cardinals should have done it anyway.
I agree.
And I think we all said that.
Mm-hmm.
It was unnecessary to do it. Once you know you're going to sign them, I don't think, especially with the way things are going, there's no reason to disrupt anything. And, you know, Craig Berube is going to be the head coach here next year. I think the plan all along was that if he can get this team into the playoffs, he's going to earn.
Will another team look at him, though, at the end of the season?
Well, they could, but he's not going anywhere. He's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they would need permission from the Blues to let him leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's under contract through the end of June anyway, mm-hmm. right? So, Craig Berube isn't going anywhere. He'll be the head coach of the Blues next year, and he should be.
All right, a couple of quick college basketball thoughts. Chuck, who do you like in the NCAA tournament now? Are you? Did you watch the Duke-Central Florida game where Duke was
yes.
ever so lucky to get out of that?
That's called a Duke mystique
yeah.
right there. Now, people are saying, was Zion foul, Taco? Well, Taco fouled earlier. And I think, see, the one thing I have against college basketball is the officials call too many fouls. They let the kids play. Last weekend, and I hope they do that again tonight. I think Duke will win big against Virginia Tech, who beat our Billikens last Friday.
Who embarrassed
the city of St. Louis.
It was so difficult
Andy
to watch
so bad.
I was on the,
oh my
it was,
God.
It was so bad.
I was on the Billiken bandwagon.
You know, we couldn't wait for them.
I was
Don't
on the Billiken bandwagon.
You said they were a failure, okay?
They were.
Don't try
were
to get
not.
Back on the bandwagon.
They
okay?
were a regular season failure.
No, they weren't. Andy, they won 23 games.
They made up for it in the postseason tournament. They were expected to – they were picked to win the conference, and they would not have made the
And they won the conference.
The postseason tournament,
well,
yeah.
What matters?
So when I made
is
that,
the postseason tournament more than important than the regular season tournament? Yes. Does the postseason tournament winner go to the NCAA
Frank,
tournament?
I made
yes.
that comment before the postseason tournament. If they don't win that postseason tournament, we're not even talking about them playing an NCAA tournament game. So I'm glad they did what they had to do to get there.
Yeah, I can tell you were glad.
I give them all the credit in the world.
Yeah, I can tell that. You gave them all the credit in the world.
The first half against Virginia Tech was exactly what I expected.
It was hard to watch.
Well, absolutely. They played a terrible first half. Then they start off the second half by scoring the first 8 points. They cut the lead to 9. They end up losing by 12. There's nothing embarrassing about making the NCAA tournament and winning 23 wins.
Was not going to sustain what they did in the first half.
If your guy Isabel would have shot.
That's not better.
We'd won.
It's a shame. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, but people who want to criticize Isabel are insane because Isabel was the guy who carried them the final month, and he was the MVP of the tournament.
People
and got
are
people
criticizing him now. To
yeah.
this day, they criticize him.
Let me tell you something. The key word.
Isabel.
Who's criticizing him?
Some of the fans.
Oh, some of these people that were texting in yesterday.
Yeah, they're going crazy.
See, here's the thing. Is for the key phrase for Mizzou, for SLU, and for Illinois right now is grad transfers.
Mm-hmm.
They have got to get some 22, 23, 24-year-old guys who are professional scorers to have an immediate impact. SLU needs a big to come in right now, and Mizzou needs a guy.
What I don't understand is we're looking at all these teams in the tournament, even from North Dakota State, Oregon. How are they getting these players, and the Billikens can't do it, Frank? We've got to get better. I know what you're saying right now. How are they recruiting? What are these brothers doing going to North Dakota State?
Well, that's it. You know what? I think there's an element of truth in what you're saying. You look at this tournament, and you look at some of these smaller schools. Wait a minute.
Where would they get
How do they get all these ballers?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, that's in the hands of the recruiters, man. That's for them to answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That question should be posed to Travis Ford and his staff. Not on this show. Why aren't they bringing in better players?
All you have to do is, if you would have looked at the team they had in July that they thought they were going to have for the full season with this Santos, who was 6'10", 250, and with Cartier Gordon, and then with Welmer, they would have had 3'6", 9", 240 and up bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then that doesn't work out.
They were just so undersized. In a tournament like that, it's difficult to win. We all know that. But if you're undersized like that, you've got to be able to play defense, number one, but also knock down shots from the outside. And they didn't rebound in that game in the first half the way we had seen.
This may not be a perfect example, but I look at Houston. Houston hasn't been to this tournament this far since 1984 when they had five slammer jammer. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were upset because they got Kevin Sampson as the coach. He came in. The arena was torn down. They rebuilt it. And the St. Louis University still has pretty good facilities. I don't see why they can't do a better job.
Well,
bringing
Kelvin
kids
Sampson
here.
Is a rare. That guy is unbelievable. Yeah, and they won coach. 33 games.
He's going to end up at Arkansas.
That's the job's been offered to him.
That's the rumor that he's going to end up at
PJ
Arkansas.
Washington,
he's a hell of a coach.
If PJ Washington doesn't play for Kentucky tonight, he'll beat Kentucky.
He's got a great chance.
But I said last week on the show, watch out for the Pac-12. I watched that Pac-12 tournament primarily because Bill Walton was on the call. But that Washington team was good. I think they won a game, right? Mm-hmm. And then Oregon, obviously, you know, getting to the Sweet 16, that wasn't a fluke. They've got some good ball players on that team.
There's one team in the tournament that I've been down on for the past so many years.
And Florida State was my team,
and
too.
They
I said
keep
last
coming
week.
On. I tell games. You what, watch out for Gonzaga. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah.
For the first
team.
Time, they've got athletes. They've been
well, they got a lottery
before.
Pick.
Yeah, they got just two,
what are you
one
trying
or two.
To say?
And the one guy, what's
you,
the other
are
kid?
Are you trying to say watch out like they're going to sneak up on you? They're
well,
the, one
well
seed.
I'll tell you what, Andy.
Watch out for Duke,
they've only
Virginia
been, wait, no. Hold okay. on. They've only been in a championship game, what, 2 years in a 2 years ago. They haven't been in a championship game. Yeah, you got to watch
they've
out
been
for them
because
they
for
bow
years,
out.
Man.
But they keep bowing out.
Yeah,
they're not Duke.
Kansas City's the place to be this weekend. You got North Carolina and Auburn tonight. North Carolina is my pick to win it all. And then Houston, Kentucky, and then you could have a North Carolina-Kentucky regional final on Sunday, which would be unbelievable.
Watch out for the New England Patriots when the playoffs come too, Charlie. Okay, watch out for
see,
the Patriots.
You can tell he doesn't know anything about basketball. Tell his basketball
saying,
knowledge.
Watch out for a number one
it's
seed.
It's like drinking medicine.
A number one
a
seed. Watch
bottle.
Out. Like, we don't expect
no,
them to
but we
do
don't
well,
expect,
okay?
No, we don't expect Gonzaga to make it to the championship game every year. They've made it 2 years in a row. When is the last time they made it before that?
But for the
Never.
Sake of general awkwardness, wouldn't a Houston LSU national title game
be great.
Absolutely amazing?
No,
Kelvin
Sampson
against a Will Waitless LSU
Wade.
Basketball. How do you cover that?
Do you think Wade? I don't think LSU's coach. They shouldn't have taken him off the sidelines. I really don't.
If they got him on tape,
I don't care.
That's the issue. As dumb as
remember,
the story is,
yes. Remember Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl, the chancellor, said, yeah. Come into my office, mister. He didn't even go into his office. Where's Bruce Pearl right now?
He's about to play the University of North Carolina
That's
in Kansas
right.
City. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen North Carolina much, but I just think they have the best combination of, like, they got two lottery picks. They got fourth-year seniors. Roy Williams coaches them up. And this guy's going to win his – I think he's going to win his fourth national title. Now, did you guys watch the moment of the night in sports last night – was the Purdue-Tennessee game and the foul on Edwards.
Well, he kicked.
The three-point shot. That was a foul. He would have missed the shot regardless, so he didn't have to foul him when he came down. But, you know, he missed the first free throw. They still had a chance in overtime to win that game.
And Purdue came back. I was shocked. But I tell you, the team,
Painter.
Wolford last week, let me tell you what, you look at that team and they walk down on the court, you say, oh, there ain't nothing.
Yeah.
They look like a team full of Larry Birds. I mean,
God,
they can
did
shoot,
they shoot
the ball.
Purdue? Yeah.
Oh,
Wolford. They had the all-time
oh,
leading three-point
Wolford,
shooter,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
They were unreal.
All right.
It's been a good tournament, though, honestly. This tournament this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's been somewhat.
It's been some moments.
There has been some moments.
Like last night, it was horrible. I mean, we're complaining about SLU. Michigan could have got beat last
close.
Night. Oh, my God. That was
they
one of the worst
like,
games I ever saw.
They look like. The game didn't even get interesting until they brought the, you know, the team managers and the walk-ons on the floor for the final minute of the game. I would have rather watched those guys play for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even close.
And much to Brian's dismay, the Virginia Cavaliers are now one game away from the Final Four.
But that kid Culver.
Terrible.
They play some defense. They play defense.
From Texas Tech.
They play defense.
Offense.
That kid Culver you're right.
From
they
Texas
are very
Tech
boring.
Is a player.
Let me tell you, though.
Good ball player.
I don't care what you say. We all know this. I know I'm going to say something everybody
what?
Knows. Every time I watch Zion – I'm more and more impressed every time I watch this kid.
Oh,
he can handle the ball.
Here's the thing, too, is I don't know if you heard Paul Pierce say this week he'd be a top 50 NBA player right now. That's like the most obvious thing. He'd be a top 25 player
in
the league
right
now.
You hear what? I was watching Paul Pierce on that little NBA TV show that they do with
Jump.
With Jump.
The Jump.
Okay. With the kid from Duke who had the motorcycle accident.
Jason Wayne.
Two-time
great command of basketball names.
You do.
Two-time NCAA player of the year.
He gets on me about hockey.
He was unbelievable.
What, did you read the graphic that appeared underneath his name?
Did you look on my laptop?
I forgot his name. He was unbelievable.
Stop cheating.
Jason Williams, who is a Duke apologist, obviously, because he went there.
He goes by Jay, doesn't he?
Jay Williams.
Jason Williams.
What are you talking about, Jay? Where you get that
Jason
at?
Jason Williams.
Don't you know what you're doing here?
He's saying Zion.
Do you know where you are?
He's saying he's not convinced Zion can be a go-to guy on his NBA team next year. He still has a lot of work.
Williams
to do.
Said that?
Yeah. I mean, and the other guys were just like, you know, okay, Richard yeah. Jefferson and Paul Pierce were like, what are you talking about?
And people were saying, like, what position? It doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
He's a 3, 4, 5.
He can handle. He can play every position.
A point center.
That's right.
As long as he gets a shoe, figure
it
out.
I'm going to tell you something. He slipped now. Last week he slipped twice. They said it was moisture. Something's wrong with his shoes. You're just a kid like that.
He's wearing
just
Paul George's now, I think, right?
No, he took – that's what got
he
him hurt.
He's LeBron, wearing a LeBron.
No, he's wearing Kyrie the other night.
No, he was Kyrie. Wearing Kyrie. Then he switched to LeBron.
You know, LeBron.
Speaking of Kyrie and his teammate
Read
Jason Tatum,
it.
I'm telling you, he is getting a lot of negative pub
well,
right now.
Well, I'm tell you why.
A lot of people think he has dramatically regressed in the league.
Kyrie or Jay?
No, Jason Tatum.
I said that to you last year.
Yeah.
I told
Wait a minute, last year he was skyrocketing.
And I told you it may come down to this. Brad Stevens, still very overrated to me. Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens don't get along, coexist in the style of play that Kyrie wants to have. Brad Stevens is mainly a team guy.
I think Kyrie would be pretty tough to coach.
Yeah, very tough. And Brad Stevens is not that kind of guy.
But
his pedigree doesn't.
I would say 65% of the players in the NBA are not easy to coach. It's the one league where the players truly have more power.
But Brad Stevens is not that kind of coach that can handle that either.
So, you know, Kyrie is just.
Came from Butler.
There's way too much drama for me with some of these NBA players, man. I just can't handle it.
Oh, it's
tough. It's been like that, though.
Yeah,
it's been like that.
It's a player's league. The thing with Tatum is, let's face it, in the league now, how you become a star is you're a three-point shooter or you get to the rack.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing neither. He's like a mid-range shooter, and that's not the way to start him. Now, granted, it's really awkward with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward has taken away minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
But you thought Tatum was going to just like – or he'd be the chip that could get you the brow, you know, but I don't know.
He's like he's in a lost situation sometimes when he comes in the games. And you know he's going to digress a little bit. I think he'll be okay. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a trade proposal made with Tatum. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, but you can't use him now to get
– Now you can't.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with Kyrie? Is he a free agent?
Yeah, well, he may end up in New York with Kevin Durant.
The toughest year
sophomore
is the second year
yes,
for a lot
second
of these
year.
Guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your first year you come in, you just play.
Mm-hmm.
Players against you, they don't really know your game.
You know who's
well.
Not regressing? Who? Is Brad Beal.
Oh, okay.
He's insane right
now. Is this his fifth year?
Yeah, he's just, wow. All right, we'll take a short time out broadcasting live from Hot Shots. Before we go to break, quick word about the Bomberito Automotive family. Today, the Bomberito Automotive Group features 20 franchises, 9 pre-owned centers. They sell them all. Dealerships are located in every neighborhood, Hazelwood, South County, West County, and St. Peter's. We appreciate them sponsoring the show content. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.